I'm excited to be back, and I'm excited to share with you the journey that God is taking me on. I developed a new hobby, and I developed it about 2 years ago. I began small because I don't want to kill these trees. So today's sermon is called Bonsai Art and the Christ-like Heart. And I want to show you the resemblance to bonsai, because I tell you everything in the natural is mimicated in the spirit, or vice versa, yes? Okay. They did a pretty good job setting me up. I think I'm about ready to go. Are we excited? Are we ready? Bonsai is trained to grow. You have to be trained to grow. Growth is not going to happen by happenstance. Growth is going to happen when you're trained to grow. Yes, that's why we come to church. We come to church for the training so that we can become more Christ-like, so that we could develop the Christ-like heart. Yes? The bonsai tree in Asian culture represents the bridge that connects heaven and earth, the link between human and divinity, and it also means tree in a flower pot. We are a spirit in a vessel. We are a spirit in a vessel. Let's look at 2 Timothy 2:21. Eugenia, this means,
she's in trouble already.
Oh my goodness, first one. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor. In other words, you're never going to be a vessel for God. You're never going to have honor from God until you clean yourself up. Sanctified, useful to the master. See, some of you have found God, you have found a Christ-like heart, but you haven't cleaned it up, and God said, you're not useful for me. I cannot use you in the condition that you're on. He sent me on a one-month vacation because I was starting to get unuseful. And he said, I have to clean you up a little bit and get you right. Prepared for every good work. Bonsai symbolizes virtue. It symbolizes independence, greatness of spirit, health, longevity, dignity, and wisdom. Now, the interesting things about bonsai trees is they can live to be over 1,000 years old. And they can cost over $1 million. If anybody wants to get me a $1 million bonsai tree for my birthday, I will accept it graciously. These are not the $1 million ones. In bonsai art, the object is not to make the tree look like a bonsai, but to make the bonsai look like a tree. See, what y'all don't understand, the object in Christianity is not to conform Jesus to you. It's to conform you to Jesus. See, you have your own ideas of what Christianity should be. You have your own ideas of who Jesus is. I sat in class Friday night, and the questions came, and we had an amazing class, but it was people who thought they knew who Jesus was, and I had to explain that their theology was going to send everyone to hell. Yes? Were you there Friday? See, we can't conform what we think. We can't conform what we want. We can't have it the way we want it to be. We can't conform Jesus to us. We have to conform our heart to Jesus. That's painful. Because we've been taught so many things that are not godly for many, many years. We have to come to a place where we know we need Jesus. You see, there are people walking around who do not know they need Jesus. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But I want you to know that they have a dead heart. Can I tell you something? And I don't care if it offends you this morning, but if you want to kill a 9-month-old baby, your heart is dead. There's too many people walking around with dead hearts, and they're killing people. We have a little city in Miami called Miami Gardens. And every week on the news, there's another death in Miami Gardens. They're killing people. They don't care who they hurt. They don't care what they have to do to get what they want. Their hearts are dead. Show me the clip. Lights?
Hey, I did you guys a favor, man. You should be kissing my zapatos. Could be you lying in there. Hey, those guys aren't afraid of you. They're not afraid of Morgan. They're not afraid of anybody. You can't kill them, man. They're already dead.
A great clip from the show Miami Vice. And where there's three hoodlums running around just killing everybody they run into contact with. And the informer, Izzy, says, you can't kill them. They're already dead. The world says, yet you live, but you're already dead. And God said, you're dead, but yet you shall live. Yeah. Let's look at Colossians 3, 1 through 10. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. These are for those who have accepted Christ as their Savior, who no longer have a dead heart. And if you're here today and you find that your heart is dead, then make it live. Choose life. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. In other words, transform yourself to a Christ-like heart. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then also you also will appear with him in glory. You see, you're going to need a Christ-like heart to join him in heaven. The dead hearts won't arrive. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. I had several people come into my office today to put to death their earthly nature. I'm like, but I haven't preached the sermon yet. But they said, my old nature's got to die. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You see, I went to church after church on vacation, and the service is only an hour, so I got cheated out of half hour every week. So I might make up those 2 hours today. Just saying. I ain't being cheating. You can't cheat me. They all had the same message. It was a great message. It was God loves you. You see, Rob, whatever you're doing, God loves you. And Pastor Donna, whatever you're doing, God loves you. And Daisy, whatever you're doing, God loves you. Right where you are, just as you are. And that's true. The Bible says that while we were still dead, while we were still had dead hearts, that God still loved us. But they would not use this word. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. They wouldn't tell you there's consequences for staying where you are. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Your heart is supposed to resemble the heart of Christ. But how can your heart resemble the heart of Christ if you don't know what the heart of Christ is supposed to look like? Your heart must be cultivated. Cultivated means prepared and use, raise or grow, acquire or develop. Ezekiel says this. This is what the sovereign, you know why that word's there? To let you know this is it. It's not about what you think. A lot of you think a lot of stuff, but it's not about what you think. The sovereign Lord says, on the day I cleanse you from all your sins, I will resettle your towns and the ruins will be rebuilt. Now, he's not talking about U.S. 27. He's talking about your life. The desolate land will be cultivated instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass through it. See, you're supposed to start to look like something else when you receive Christ as your Savior. And is there evidence that will convict you of being a Christian if you were tried in a U.S. court of law? Or would your attorney say, no, doesn't go to church, he doesn't pray, he's not guilty. I want to be guilty. I'm guilty. I pray all day long. I go to church when I'm supposed to. I do what God tells me to do. I put away my sin. I'm guilty of being a Christian. They will say, this land that was laid waste has become like the Garden of Eden. The cities that were lying in ruins, desolate and destroyed, are now fortified and inhabited. My heart becomes inhabited with Jesus. And it doesn't look like it used to look. If you saw my heart many, many years ago, I'm not showing you that one today. You would be like, there's a bomb that went off in here. There is something wrong. Then the nations around you that remain will know that I have rebuilt what was destroyed. Who are the nations? You're the nations. Can you look at me and know that God has rebuilt me? Can I look at you and know that God has rebuilt you? What was destroyed and I have replanted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. What's the caveat? You have to let him. He's not going to do it until you ask him. He's not going to do it until you let him. Matthew 7. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes? Does anybody come up to you and say, can you pray for me? If not, it's because they don't recognize you. Uh-oh. Do you pick figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. A bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit will you recognize them. I picked a sweet plum tree. That's what this is. And the reason I picked the sweet plum tree is it produces plums. They're edible. They're very, very tiny. But they're edible and they're sweet and they're good. It's good fruit. And then I started thinking, God, what about the trees that don't produce? There's bonsai trees that don't produce fruit. And God said to me, don't you understand? Every tree in the world produces. It produces oxygen for you to breathe. And then I realized that every person is a producer. The only question is, what are you producing? Is what you're producing fruitful for God? Or is what you're producing leading others astray? Are you producing hurt? Or are you producing joy? Are you producing love? Or are you producing hate? What are you producing? There's a preparation time. I want to create a heart of bonsai, but there's a preparation time. You see, sometimes you're so afraid of being rejected. You're so afraid of being turned down. You're so afraid of being laughed at. You're so afraid of being made fun of that you forget that there's a time of preparation. You see, for you to come to the understanding that you need Jesus, your life has to be turned upside down. See, people who don't know they need Jesus aren't going to look for a Jesus, and they're not going to listen to you about a Jesus. Now, I tell people this because I see it, I watch it in your lives. And Jesus comes up to you and he says, Daisy, You need me. And Daisy says, I don't need you. I got a man. I got a job. I got money. I got a new car. I'm healthy. I don't need you. And God comes back and he says, Daisy, you need me. And Daisy says, I got everything I need. I don't need you. And God steps back, and circumstances enter in. And God said, Daisy, if you'll prune yourself, you won't have to allow circumstances to prune you. I am so thankful that Brianna, who got bit by the coral snake, is at home and expected recovery. And I'm so grateful that after she got bit by this deadly, most venomous snake here in Lake Placid, that she gave her Lord to God, her life to God. Amen. But see, God had to let her go to a place where she knew she needed him and only he could work. Wouldn't it be better to prune yourselves than allow God to let circumstances prune you? I had to be pruned the hard way, so I know what I'm talking about. Your life's got to be turned upside down. When your life gets turned upside down, you realize you need Jesus. In order to plant this bonsai, I've got to turn this pot upside down because there's holes in the bottom of it. And if I don't do that, then everything's going to leak out. The soil's going to leak out. The water's going to leak out. The nutrients are going to leak out. Everything's going to leak out if I don't do the proper preparation. Now, when I was a young Christian, I used to witness to my neighbor. And we'd go over there and we'd show her the scriptures and we'd show her the Romans road to salvation and we would tell her that the time of salvation was now and we would go time and time again and witness to her. See, I didn't understand it was preparation time. She still hadn't come to the understanding that she needed a Jesus. But see, what I was doing was valuable, although I took it as rejection in my immature heart. She's rejecting us. She wasn't rejecting us. God was using us as preparation. And then one day I go see her and she says, you know, I went to this other church and I gave my life to Jesus. I wasn't happy. I was teed off. I've been here 8 times for you to accept Jesus and you go somewhere else 1 time and accept Jesus. There's time of preparation. I was preparing her to accept Jesus. I just didn't understand, know my role. You know what the rock says? Know your role. Know your role. Say, yes, sir. So I've got to prepare this bonsai. To receive its heart. Okay? So the way I'm going to do that. Oops. Is I've got to take this mesh. And I've got to stick a wire through it. And I've got to put the mesh on the inside. And let the wire come through the back. And then I got to bend the wire over. I didn't do that right at all. Because that's because I'm limited in time. That's why. I hate time limitations. There we go. Now we got it right. See, I don't want the soil to fall out. If the preparation is not done in your life, it's not going to work. God's in the process of sending people to get you ready to receive him. And we take it as rejection when it's the process. Without the process, nothing comes to pass. Amen? We're part of the prep. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. I am so thankful for the staff of this church, the pastoral staff and the team WFM, which there are quite a few members, that while I was away, they took care of everything. And I was able to walk away knowing that you would still hear the word of God. I was able to walk away knowing that they had everything under control. Amen? Aren't you grateful for that? Yay, God. All right, my preparation is almost done. I'm almost ready to plant this tree. Now, when you transplant your heart to the heart of Christ, there's some issues. And the first thing God has to do, do I have people that are going to clean this up afterwards? Good, good. You see, these roots are hidden nicely in this soil, so I've got to dig them out and expose them. Because I can't transplant it the way that it is. And if I go too far, I'm going to kill this tree. But if I go just right, it's going to be a healthy Christ-like heart. See, things have to happen for you to have a transplant. Things have to happen in your life. The things that you hate are part of the process to give you eternal life. So we put our tree right like that, and we put them down there good. And now we've surrendered to Jesus. Somebody called me the other day and says, what does surrendering to Jesus mean? I said, you should know, you've already done it. I said, that's when you decide it's his way and not your way. My way said, I'm not going to church today because I don't like Barbara. She comes every week. God's way is go to church, give Barbara a kiss, and tell her you love her. This is the soil. It's made of pine bark, clay, and lava. It's the soil that they flourish in. I could put dirt in there, but this tree's not going to flourish in dirt. If you go to the wrong place after your transplant, you'll be destroyed. And then you get mad at God. And now you don't want anything to do with church or God. Because you got planted in the wrong soil. How many of us have been planted in the wrong soil? I know I have. I had to find the right soil. The soil that God wants to use to grow me. Now the good news is my clock's behind the pulpit. So I don't know. I know, see? It said, leave my pulpit alone today. One more and I'm good. Okay. Now we're going to squish this down. And this is going to do what? It's going to root the tree. We have to be rooted. What's it going to take to get you out of this church? Something I say? Something Rob says? Because Rob's always running his mouth. Huh? Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. You see, we're a team. Just because I hold the title don't make me it. I am nothing without you. You are nothing without me. We are a team. God can use you in preparation in the life of somebody. He can have you tell them about coming to church. Hey, there was a team. Wayne is here today because one of my team members invited him. Shorty invited him to church. Was it Shorty? Both. She wants some credit too. I would have given her credit, but you know, sometimes names pass through my head and I don't get them. You think I'm lying. I'm not lying. But see, they're part of the team. I could never talk to Wayne unless they had invited him to come to church, unless he opened up his heart. God softened his heart. God says, I hold the heart of the king in my hands. I can do what I will with it. So God softened his heart. You don't mind if I use you a little bit, do you, brother? And he came to church to hear about God. But I couldn't have done it without Shorty and his wife. Woohoo! And the great thing is, I know that. 3 John 1-8 says, we ought to therefore to show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth. We can't do it by ourselves. Go ahead, Gina. While a large crowd was gathering, back up. John 1, oh, that was it, one scripture. My mistake, you did good. I'm testing. I'm going to have to see if we have a meeting afterwards or not. The transplant is when you surrender. Jesus is the pot. The soil is the church. The people are the church. It's not a building. It's a bunch of hearts working together. Luke 8:4-15. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Now he's talking about your heart. It's a parable. It's not about seed. It's not about a farmer. But it says some of you have had a heart transplant, got with the wrong crowd, and got trampled. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. In other words, you had your heart transplant, but then all of a sudden you got excited about going to church Sunday, but the next Sunday the football game was on, and then the next Sunday Aunt Clara came to town, and then the next Sunday you didn't feel quite right, and then the next Sunday you just forgot you ever went to church in the first place. Come on. They had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. See, you went back to your old buddies, and they laughed at you. What do you mean, Bob, you're going to church? That's for weak individuals. And they choked you. Governor Jesse Ventura from Minnesota said, church was a crutch. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop. You went to the right place. You got around the right people. They started showing you what Christ is supposed to look like, and then you produced a good crop 100 times more than what was sown. When he said this, he called out, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Listen to what I'm saying. The disciples asked him what this parable meant because they didn't understand Jesus. Jesus spoke Jesus. I already told you that, right? Yeah. Nobody understood Jesus back then. Jesus running around running his mouth and everybody's like, what are you saying? We don't understand. He said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to others I speak in parables so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. If you came up in church like I did and they told you that the Bible was the literal Word of God, they'd have no clue what they were talking about. There's very little that's literal in the Bible. It's in parables. It's in Jesus-ese. That's what I call it. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so they may not believe or be saved. That's our job, is to make sure that that doesn't happen. When a brother accepts Christ and Jason has just received God as his Savior a very short time ago. Do you know that the devil's coming to take it from him? Can I ask you a question? Does the devil have to get through you? Or did you leave a path? Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy, but when they hear it, but they have no root, they believe for a while, but in time of testing, they fall away. They never planted themselves. They never grew roots. They never... To join this church, you have to come up here and say, "This is my church." That's it. What am I trying to say? Come up here and root yourself. Come up here and take ownership. Come up here and take a responsibility for this place. Responsibility for doing what God wants you to do. Stop being shy. Stop being afraid. Stop being timid. Stop being a coward and take a stand for Christ. Because if I can't get you to do that, you're going to fall away anyway. People get mad at me because I make them pray. Publicly. My wife used to get so, Pastor Marjorie used to lose her mind. You can't make them pray, they're shy. You can't make them pray, they're crying. You can't make them pray, they're afraid to speak in front of somebody else. Oh yeah, watch me. I read the Bible, I know what I'm doing. I don't know the Bible as well as my wife does, though, I'll tell you that. She listens 3 hours a day. I do not. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Our hearts become hardened by our everyday crap that we have to go through. My sensor didn't say anything. I'm okay. I've got to walk through crap. I'm going to share some of it with you in a minute. And their hearts don't mature. And we stay at a level the same for years. But the seed on good soil stands for those with noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Do you want to produce? I'm going to shape and prune this tree. You know why it has to be shaped and pruned? Because that's what produces new growth. So, I want this to look like the heart of Christ. Let's go to John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Are there some things in your life? had several come into my office this week and say to me, there's some things in my life that are bearing no fruit and I need some help. I got to cut them off because they're destroying me. You see, some things are minor and some things are a little more major, and I've got to cut off a whole branch. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So wait a minute. What you're saying is if I take my eye off of this tree, I'm going to lose it. How many times do we take our eye off of Jesus? How do we do that? Maybe we forgot to pray. We got so busy today. We forgot to have a conversation with God. I was talking to somebody this week, and they said, every morning I get up and I pray this, this, and that. I thought, that's the way to do it. Because then you stay focused all day long. Amen? Go again, Eugenia. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. Somebody already promised me they're going to come clean this up, so. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. People say, you get everything you want. I'm not special. God didn't say, that guy looks really good, although I do. He didn't say, God didn't look down and say, that guy's muscular and sharp, and I am. I'm going to give him everything he wants. You see, I'm going to tell you why I get what I want. God's not looking for me. Where's Paula? I haven't seen her today. Where's Joe? See, I remain where he can find me, where he can see me. See, my wife has this great habit of talking to me. Now, check this out. She will talk to me. I'm in the bathroom with an electric toothbrush in my mouth. Does anybody have an electric toothbrush? And she's talking to me from the living room. And I have a 4,000 square foot home, so it's a long way away. And she's talking to me from the living room. I'm in the bathroom and I can't hear her. But I know she's talking. I hear. Now, I don't know if it's Spanish or English. That's not the point. The point is I can't hear her. We position ourselves where God doesn't hear us because we're too far away from him. But he said, remain with me. In other words, position yourself where I can find you. I need to know you're there. I need to feel you. I need to see you. And then when you ask for me, when you ask something, it's going to be done for you. And he said, I don't do it for you. I do it for my dad. This is for my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciple. You see, Jesus takes pride in letting God know that I'm his. Hey, Dad. You see, Bishop? He's mine. Not because I'm a bishop. There are many bishops that are not belonging to God. He wants to know where I am. He wants me to bear fruit. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Why has he got to put that in there? Does he know how hard that is to do? I got to love you. I have to remain in love. When you're mean to me, when you're nasty to me, you know when that occurs? When I don't give you what you want. When I don't bow to your demands, you get nasty. Oh, I know. I know. But God said, you know what? Love them anyway. That's not easy. You know when you really get mad? If I don't give you money. Whew. Don't take it personally. I'm just preaching. Let's see. The amount of people that have left this church because I would not give them money would fill this section. And that section over there. Okay? That's a fact, Jack. The wrong tree. I'm over here. I'm not starting over. I'm not starting over. Okay. I've told you that this is my joy may be. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Oh, how did you love me, God? I prepared a place for you to have eternal life. And you just cut somebody out of your life and did not give them a place in your life. But I gave you a place in my heaven. How do you love me, God? I've forgiven you of everything that you've done. Everything. And you're holding things over people's head, and I don't hold it over your head anymore. I forgot it. I gave it away. I separated it as far as the east is from the west. I remember it no more. But you want to say, I forgive you, but I can't forget. Or I can't forgive them, Pastor. You don't know what they've done to me. I got a pretty good idea. As God loved me, I have to love you. I'll give you a little help. That sucks. I don't like that at all. Did I say that out loud? It's not easy. It's not easy at all. Now, I like this one. This branch is starting to look good. This is very therapeutic and relaxing, by the way. How's it looking so far? Are we getting there? Yeah. Starting to look good? Yeah. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You know what that means? Does that mean you're going to take a bullet? No. It means I'm going to hide your sin and not broadcast it. means when you come into my office and you tell me what it is you've done, I'm going to end it right there, and those words are not leaving that office. I'm going to lay my life down for you by not hurting you, by not harming you with words from my mouth. All we have to do is change this world is not harm others with words from our mouth. You are my friends if you do what I command. Oh, I didn't hear that in any of those messages. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know what the master's business is. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything I've learned from my Father, I have made known to you. God is with us. Out of the fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. What am I trimming off of this tree? Did you understand what this was? This was pride. And this was lust, and this was idols, and this was myself, and this was some entertainment that I can't do anymore. You see, it was stopping me from having a Christ-like heart. I had to shave off some religion. Religion's gone. People say, you're nuts. I'm not nuts. I just refuse to fit into the religious mold that you expect me to. I didn't come in here to fit into anybody's mold. I didn't come here to be what you expect me to be. I came in here to listen to God and feed you what He tells me to feed you. And I'm not going to do it the way you see it done in your daddy's church. I'm not going to do it how you saw it in your brother's church. I'm going to do it the way God tells me to do it. All the false teachings have to come off. Hurt, fear, worry, all these things have to come off of my heart for me to thrive and grow in Christ. How's my Christianity starting to look to you now? Rob, come up. Let's talk about the mature heart. This is my heart. This is what my heart looked like before I left you. You see, I was strong. This is a mature Christian's heart. Have you been around Christianity for long? This is the pastor's hearts. I'm talking to my pastors. See, this tree is grafted. Does anybody know what grafted means? This isn't a tree, this is two trees. See, this represents my heart and the heart of Christ. And these hearts have grown together. And they've grafted over many, many years. And I'm grafted here and I'm grafted again here. This represents the times I slipped away these holes. I'd like to meet the person who's never slipped away. This one's that 10-year hiatus I took. You see, you can't tell me where my heart begins and where Jesus' heart begins. You can't tell me where my heart ends or where Jesus' heart ends. This is a mature heart. This is a heart that knows the Word of God. This is a heart that their mind knows what to do, only their heart's not doing it. You see, over years, many years, it got a little unruly. The first thing, and I'll tell you what, ever since I got this tree, I've been salivating at trimming it. I've been just trying not to look at it because I want to trim it so bad. The first thing I want you to see in my heart is that I'm stable. Who wants to have a bishop who's not stable? I want you to see how strong my trunk is. Marjorie says, don't trim it too much. I have to remind her, it's my tree. Ah, see, sometimes you got to remind somebody it's your heart. It's not their heart. Somebody was telling me, and I do use the things I get told. Somebody was telling me that there was opposition to their spouse's stance in Christ. But it's their heart. Leave their heart alone and worry about your own heart. Amen? I want you to see that it's stable. And I don't have time to trim this whole tree, unfortunately. I'm already past. But I want to expose the roots. I want you to know where I stand. I don't ever want you to question whether I stand. That's why we do Friday night service. You get to sit there and ask me a question, and I'm going to tell you right where I stand, and I'm going to back it up scripturally. And then you have a choice. They had a choice Friday night. They come in and they ask me, can you lose your salvation? And they found out exactly where I stood, and I backed it up with scripture. And minds were changed. Hearts were changed last Friday night. As I begin to explain, you didn't come Friday, I'm not going to tell you. You can tell when a mature heart starts getting their base unruly, they stop coming. They don't show up as often as they used to. I want to see. This is a ficus tree, by the way. I want you to see my structure. I want you to see that I'm grounded. I want you to see that I'm rooted. I want you to see that you can count on me, that I'm strong. I want you to see that I'm walking with Christ. I don't ever want you to think I'm on my own. What happened to me? You know what happened over here? The fact that I can't go a week without somebody asking me for money. And I became hardened. And I started to say, we're not giving nobody any money anymore. Because I'm sick of it. And God said, that's not what I put in you. That's not the heart I put in you. You give to those that I instruct you to give to, and you don't give to those that I don't instruct you to give to, and soften your heart. How about desensitivity? That's over here. I'm not sure where I want to cut this tree yet. I got a lot of work to do on this tree, and I don't want to do it wrong, so I'm probably not going to do it right here, right now. I become desensitized because you're falling apart over your problem, and I'm dealing with somebody's problem that makes your problem look like not a problem. And God had to remind me, each problem is their own. And it's just as important to them as the other person. And I get to where I don't want to talk to anybody. And my heart becomes unruly. How about accusations? You know, I've told you the story of how I was blackmailed, yes? What I haven't told you is I've been blackmailed so many times you can't count them. I have very, very bad news for you. On this day, I hacked your operating system and got full access to your account, o_nichols@bellsouth.net. That's in case you want to blackmail me. I'm going to give you the address. Because I don't care! I'm not paying you. Whether I did it or whether I didn't do it, I'm not paying you. The password that you used was pastor. It's useless to change the password. My malware intercepts it every time. How it was in the software of the router to which you were connected that day, there was a vulnerability. I first hacked the router and placed my malicious code on it. When you entered in the internet, my Trojan was installed on the operating system of your device. After that, I made a full dump of the disk. I have all your address book, history of viewing sites, all files, phone numbers, addresses of all your contacts. A month ago, I wanted to lock your device and ask for a small amount of money to unlock, but I looked at the sites that you regularly visit and I came to a big delight of your favorite resources. I'm talking about sites for adults. I want to say you're a big, big pervert. You have unbridled fantasy. After that, an idea came to my mind. I made a screenshot of the intimate website where you have fun. You know what that's all about, right? After that, I made a screenshot of your joys using the camera of your device and joined all together. It turned out beautifully, do not doubt. I am strongly believing that you would not like to show these pictures to your relatives, friends, or colleagues, and I think $721 is a very small amount for my silence. Besides, I've spent a very lot of time on you. I accept money on Bitcoin. My Bitcoin wallet is blah, blah, blah. If you don't know how to replenish the Bitcoin wallet, go to the da-da-da and learn how to do it. For payment, you have little more than 2 days, exactly 50 hours. Do not worry. The timer will start at the moment when you open this letter. Yes, yes, it had already started. After payment, my virus with dirty photos and yourself destruct automatically. Narrative, if I do not receive the specified amount from you, then your device will be blocked and all your contacts will receive a photo with your joys. I want you to be prudent. Do not try to find and destroy my virtues, my virus. All your data is already uploaded to a remote server. Do not try to contact me as this is not feasible. I sent you an email from your account. Various security services will not help. On and it goes. Blackmail, 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 blackmail. That's just in the last 4 months or so. See, to be your pastor, I've got to put up with that. And they wonder how my heart gets hardened. When all I want to do is come here and tell you about Jesus, but I've got to deal with the accusations, I've got to deal with the blackmail, I got to deal with this person telling me I'm sleeping with this person, and this person telling me I'm sleeping with this person, and that they're going to destroy me, or they're going to ruin my name in this town, and nobody will come to my church. Abandonment. You see, some people, the mature Christian pours their heart into for many, many years. I just had somebody walk out of here recently that I've spent about 5 years with by my side. And Satan began to speak to them and tell them I said something I never said. Said I said homosexuals weren't welcome here. I never said that. I don't care what your sexual preference is, you're allowed to come here. This is the hospital. I don't care what your mental status is, you can come here. This is the hospital. I don't care what demon you have in you, you can come here. This is the hospital. I don't have anywhere to send you. This is it. Am I condoning homosexuality? Absolutely not. God says it's a sin. It's abominable. I tell you what God says. I don't condone or don't condone anything. I just tell you what God said. I choose to believe everything God says. So if you want to know what my opinion on it is, which you don't need to know, you just need to know God's opinion. But my opinion lines up with God's opinion, and God's opinion is it's a sin. So sorry if the morality of this culture has affected you to the point where you don't understand that. If you want to know what I feel about abortion, murder is a sin, and that God said that life was ordained before the foundation of the world. Amen. Glory to God. There's going to be a lot of voting coming up. Don't go vote against God. I'm not going to tell you how to vote. They will take away my license. But you better not vote against God, or you're going to pay the price for it. All these things keep happening to me, and all of a sudden, I'm not the joyful, happy pastor that I used to be. Anger. Y'all make me mad. You understand what I'm saying, Sam? They make me mad. Sam says, I haven't done anything yet. You will. People say, how can you take a month's vacation? Because I wouldn't have been any good to you if I didn't. Because I had to go and trim my heart back up. I had to go prune myself so that I could grow more. I had to cut these things out of my life. I had to come back with a Christ-like heart that I had when I first started the church. But over years, I let get out of hand. Oh, I'm back. But I'm not back. There's a different version standing before you today. And God explained something to me real carefully. He explained what it is He wanted me to do. You're not to convict them of their sins. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ. The Holy Spirit will do that. So don't expect me to point out what somebody else is doing, because many of you come to me. If you talk to them about the sin that they're doing, I saw them at the bar last night. They don't get to that part, Daisy. No, I'm not. I'm going to show them Jesus. I'm going to tell them Jesus loves them. And I'm going to tell them that he requires you to change. He requires you to change. And he requires your heart to begin to look like his heart. I don't like this one. I don't even know where it's coming from. There you go. And I'm going to make my heart look like God's heart. I have a question for you today. Is there anybody in here? Bow your heads for me, please. No hands, no eyes looking around. Is there anybody in here that would say, I want my heart to look like the heart of Christ? Raise your hand, show me. I want my heart to look like the heart of Christ all over this house. My next question is, have you planted yourself in the soil that's going to allow that to happen? Do you have a church home? I'm not telling you it has to be this one. I'm just telling you that this one's available. Have you become a member of the church? If you haven't, today's a good day. I'm asking you today, maybe you haven't ever had a heart transplant and you've never given your heart to Jesus to start with, so he can't create a Christ-like heart in you. Are you willing? Are you ready to give your heart to Christ today? Anybody raise their hand? Say, I'm a sinner and I'm ready to give my heart to Christ. You know what I love about God? He didn't throw me away because my heart got hard. He took me aside and said, fix it, son. And he gives me another chance. And he's giving you another chance. And he's giving you another chance. And then one day our chances run out. Prayer team, come up. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, for shaping our heart like this beautiful ficus tree that has grown together. These two trees, God, let it be two trees, the tree of Christ and our own tree. Let us come together as one, God. What are we saying? Let them see Jesus in me. Are you hurting? Let me see Jesus in you, people. Come up and talk it over with God and say, my heart hasn't been what it should be, God. I've, just like pastor, just like bishop, I've let some things kind of overgrow in my heart that need to be pruned, and I'm coming today to prune them, God. I don't want to hold on to this anger. I don't want to hold on to this bitterness. I don't want to hold on to this hardness. I want to soften myself. All you have to do is come. Some of you, your lives are spiraling out of control. God wants to right what is wrong. He wants to straighten the crooked paths.